So let me just talk for a few minutes. That was awesome. I'll take the flow of the Holy Spirit over a form any day. And that's what I think he's doing in, I got some verses here that came up in my spirit as we were talking, as we were worshiping. For ministries, for ministers, and this is just spontaneous, so if it's not put together real well, it's doing the best I can. And so, for ministers and ministries, I think one of the things he's really been trying to show us, and I've got a long ways to go, but hopefully I'm further than I was a year ago, is flowing with him and what he wants, even if it goes against what you had planned, even if it goes against the form you normally do. There's nothing wrong with form. We've all got to have form. Will we do it? And I see this in all of us, in our daily life and in our jobs, interaction with people. We have a pattern. We have a habit. We have a way of doing stuff. But then we get that little feeling on the inside. And I was taught the still small voice that's on the inside of you, or even just a nudge. And he's teaching us to follow the nudge, even we don't quite know where it goes. And that's making us a people that can flow with the Holy Spirit. And I think that pleases him. And it's actually, I think, brings glory to him better than just our plans. Now, we plan, but always listen to that nudge. Henry Blackaby. Some of you, if you're Baptist or Baptist background, which I grew up, he's like one of the preeminent writers and theologians of the Baptist movement. Great stuff. He wrote this, and I think this is where we're at. I was looking it up while we were over here doing worship. He wrote this about 15 years ago. Many of God's people have moved from a relationship to religious activity. We are content to live without the manifest presence, power, and activity of God. And I think that's what he's been speaking to us about tonight. Exodus 33, verse 14. This is Moses. It's a great, Moses did a lot. Tremendous ministry. We all know what he did. Taking the Israelites out, trying to get them into the promised land. And then the Lord's given them instructions. It's time to go into the promised land, do X, Y, Z, A, B, C. So we do stuff. But this was Moses' reply in Exodus 33, verse 14. And I'm going to read probably a couple verses after that. The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you in this journey, and I will give you rest." Before I go on, do you see the tie there between presence and rest? Sean started this with his song, so I blame it on him. You see the tie between presence and rest. We live in such a society where there's very few people are rested. And I'm not just talking about physically getting sleep, although that's a start. But we're jittery. How many people can just sit in a chair for 5-6 minutes without picking up their phone, without whatever activities that we're doing? If we can't do that, and I'd say most Americans cannot, we are not rested. There's something in our soul. It's like, have you ever seen those pet animals where you have a hamster? Maybe one of your kids got a hamster and he's on that wheel and they're running like this all the time. Even if their body's not doing that, I find that my soul's doing that. Well, what that says is this. There's not enough of the presence of God in my life. Even if the thing I'm doing on that hamster cage is preaching, going on missions trips, telling people about Jesus, if we're not at rest, that's not bad stuff, but it's second best. And so he wants to get us to a place where we move and minister out of rest and not to cover up things in our soul that we don't want to deal with. And so the presence of God, I felt the presence of God here. I felt it stronger at times in the night, but I also felt it at times where it was not as strong as this. And if you notice, I'm of the charismatic persuasion, been in the charismatic church for 40 years. And we always were taught, or I was always taught, that when the presence of God, it goes into healings and miracles and deliverances. And that happens a lot, and we like it when that does that. We want that. I'm not discounting that. But it seems like this year, most of the time, that's not happened. A peace has come in. A rest has come in. And I think that's actually better, at least at this stage in our season of life, because it's causing us to slow down and get our identity in a person and not what the person brings. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. I mean, they're fixing to go into the promised land. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Man, I want to be able to say that and know what I'm talking about. There was a time where I didn't understand what it meant to know what his presence was, to know what the person was. How many of you can say that? And he's causing me to slow down, to go, the presence isn't a mystical spirit or the glory cloud, although there are glory clouds. The presence is a person. John over here, I've known him many years. Well, tonight I'm in his presence because the person is here. And the Lord has been taking us on a journey where we learn to recognize Jesus has walked into the room. The Holy Spirit is here. Goes on, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless your presence goes with us? I'm all for healings, miracles, deliverance, and salvations. That's God. That's His thing. But wouldn't it, and on top of that, be better to carry His presence with you? When Moses came down from the mountain, the presence was so strong, he shone. I've not shone yet. If I start glowing, then maybe I'm making some progress. Now listen, this is good. What else, in verse 16, what else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Not prosperity, not government stability, but your presence. Because there were other heathen nations that had government stability. There are other heathen nations that were prosperous, but they didn't have the person of Jesus. Can you see how he's inviting us in, as I call it, the fellowship of the Trinity, not just with the Holy Spirit, but Jesus and the Father in different ways? We're a son to the Father. What does that mean? That's a lifelong journey. It's another talk that I'm not sure I can even teach that well. But we're not a son to Jesus. See, we relate to the Trinity three different ways. We're son to the Father. What are we to Jesus? I just got through teaching on it for 3 weeks. We're a bride. We're not a bride to the Father, but we're a bride to Jesus. Do I really understand all this? Not a whole lot, but I'm trying. Maybe a few more percentage points than I did before. And this is where he's wanting to bring his people. And he is, for those that are listening. Rick Joyner, probably 20, 25 years ago. I don't know. It was a long time ago. And I've heard a lot of people quote, do the same quote. And maybe he wasn't the original, but he was the one I heard it from. He said, Jesus, or the God, will bless what he will not inhabit. That totally messed me up, man. He will bless what he will not inhabit. Now, I want all the blessings I can get. I'm selfish that way, okay? And I think that's okay. But I don't want him just to bless me. And so every day when I wake up, I used to always pray, Father, bless my work. Bless here. If I'm going on a ministry, pray, give me prophetic words, whatever. Anoint my sermons. And all that's good, and I still pray that, but that's not my first thing anymore. I wake up in the morning and I go, Holy Spirit, can I walk with you? Where are you walking today? I know where I would like to walk and what my to-do list has said to walk, but are you walking this way? If you're not, if your presence doesn't go with me in my to-do list, in my schedule, tell me now, because I don't want to go off doing these things. And I go to work 40 hours a week, like probably most of the rest of you do, so I got a, you know, a job as a software developer program. So, you know, you've got to do that, but I still go, Lord, in my programming, in my project management, in my working with people, I want your presence to go with me and guide me in what I think I'm going to say, what I think I'm going to do within the limits of my job. Are you going to be there with me? If not, where do I need to back up at? This will totally revolutionize your life and get out of repetitious prayers. Bless this, bless that, even if they're good prayers. If you're saying all that and he's not wanting to go there, so, in closing, because it's, like I said, it's spontaneous. It'll be probably shorter than I usually teach. I want his presence, all three of them, more than I've ever in my entire life. I refuse to do ministry just out of duty. There are times you have to put feet before yourself and do the last thing he said. I get that. There's perseverance, there's grit, there's faithfulness. But I want to know that his presence is going with me. Sometimes I feel it, sometimes I don't, but I always invite him and give him an opportunity to tell me if he's not there. And it's that pause. So how do you get the presence of God to grow? You pause and ask. Most of the time I don't even ask. You just pause and be quiet. And here's a church. We go after the presence as much as we know how. We've got a long ways to go, but we're better than where we were. Because it's the presence that changes everything. And hearing his voice in it. And I'm going to say a statement that might shock you, and I'm doing it on purpose to shock us. I'm in 2 to 4 churches a month. I did 3 overseas missions trips last year. I was in 5 countries. They were all good trips. All good things. But I've realized most Christians, and I'll put myself in that, don't know the difference between their emotions and soul and the Holy Spirit speaking to them. So where do we go with this, Holy Spirit? He is teaching us. He wants to renew our emotions. He wants to renew our minds. But he's teaching us to discern between him and just circumstances. You take worship. I've been in some amazing worship services. Talked to Sean. Israel, I guess, is gone. I've seen musicians know how to change keys and change tempos and change certain words that get people excited, and they start, you know, they get excited about the Lord. But then as I watch, I go, they're just emotional. Because you did certain key combinations. And preachers do certain chords or certain ways of saying stuff to get the crowd hyped. That's okay to a certain extent, as long as we realize that's not necessarily Holy Spirit. And he's asking us to go deeper and go, what do you want to do, Holy Spirit? How do you want to flow? And it's a scarier place. Because it's almost always, even like this message, it's almost always in y'all's prophetic stuff, it's almost always taking to a place you've never been before. That's good. That's expanding his kingdom and us getting to know him. And he's bringing us to a place where I think, at least in my own life, a whole lot of my Christianity doing might, God blessed it. I think he blessed it, but I'm not sure he inhabited it. That's sobering to me. And I want him to inhabit everything, like Moses said. I'm not going into the promised land and just seeing you do great things and kill our enemies and take over unless your presence comes in. You see how that can parallel the Christian life? I want to do a great message. I want to do the stuff, whatever the stuff is in your stream, you know. I can do the stuff, but if your presence is not there, that's better than the stuff. So wake up every morning, all through the day. How do I increase His presence? This works for me. It may not work for you. It's just to pause and don't talk. Sometimes we talk so much. I hear myself praying so much, so fast, God can't get a word in edgewise. Have you ever had a friend that called you a friend, but you're not really a friend to them because you can never get a word in edgewise? You meet for 2 hours and they talk for the whole 2 hours and go, this was great. And it probably was ministry to them, but it wasn't ministry to you because you never got a word in edgewise. That's what we often do in our prayers to God. We talk so much, but we never pause to let Him talk back to us. So pause during the day. Don't say anything because it's a spirit to spirit thing. Is that too mystical? Just pause, and in your mind, I mean, you can say something under your breath. Just don't get legalistic. But just say, Holy Spirit, are you here? Well, we know He's inside of us. He doesn't leave us. But is there anything direction you want to go? Is there anything you want to say? And what I've found is He doesn't hardly ever talk to me anymore about what to do or how to do it. There's a little bit of that, but not much. He just talks to me about me and Him. And that's so much better. And a lot of us need that, don't we? We didn't have fathers, we didn't have mothers, we don't have friends to encourage us. And the best way to get encouragement is just to pause. That's it. That's my story. I'm going to stick to it till I get a better one.